Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. And there ends the reading.
I really like this morning's gospel reading from John for a couple reasons. One is that I've shared this scripture, at least the first four verses or so, at the vast majority of memorial services that I've had the privilege to officiate or co-officiate. People are often surprised to hear me or other pastors who express the preference for funerals over weddings. In your mind, you probably associate weddings as joyous, happy occasions. More often for the pastor, it's a time when two people are so self-involved in putting together the perfect pageant or production that they're rarely aware of the magnitude of what it is they are promising, and they typically treat the pastor as an extra or errand runner in their production. Whereas, when I have been privileged to share memories, laughter, tears, hope, and assurance with a gathering of people who are telling their loved one goodbye, that is a much more fulfilling occasion for me. The other reason I like this passage is that it reminds me of a song by the Christian rock group Audio Adrenaline called My Father's House. I'm going to sing a little. Please don't be too critical. It says, come and go with me to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football. A big, big house. It's my Father's house. Now that I've told you the personal reasons for having affection for this particular passage, I want to break it down for you theologically and put it in the context of this time and place. Over the past 10 days or so, aside from fixing things in my house in Hearst, which is only mine until 10:30 tomorrow morning, yay! Between doing that and packing and moving, I've spent a lot of time thinking about death and its meaning. As a pastor, I've had the privilege of sharing with a family and with this church family as we have said goodbye to a dear sister in Christ and gave her a fitting send-off. We've also waited and prayed and waited and prayed, wondering which day would be the day that her daughter, also a member of our family, would follow her in death. And now she has. In sharing and preparing for Mary Louise Pace's memorial service, I shared in laughter and tears. The perfect combination, just as life in all its fullness has both. I've thought about these two women, part of this church family who had strong opinions, strong voices, with whom we sometimes had disagreements and for a time may not have been on speaking terms. But we were always family through God in Christ Jesus. As I've packed and cleaned and gone to the hospice house and said thank you to the people who've helped me move over this past week, I've wondered how in the world I would have time to sit down and write a sermon. But I thought a lot as I drove back and forth from Hearst to Burleson and back and forth. This passage is rich with layers of meaning, many hidden from first glance, but I want to look at three things from this passage. The first is the reality of death. The events of the last several days have caused me to focus on the fragility of life and its temporal nature. I've stared my own mortality and the mortality of others in the face. You know, it's funny. When you're 4 or 5 or 6 years old, someone who is 30 is old. Someone who is 50 is really old. And someone who is 80 is unimaginably old. And then you live a few more years. You make some mistakes. Hopefully you learn a thing or two along the way. Then you're 25 and 30 doesn't seem old at all. 50 is just the age of your parents. And your grandparents are about 80 and they're old but still quite with it. But a few more years slip by. And they're starting to slip by faster and faster. And you're 40 and 30 is young. 50 is just a few years away and you're hoping you can make it to 80 so you can really have a chance to enjoy your retirement. No matter whether you're 5 or 15 or 40 or 80, we are mortal. We will die. Some of us get to be really old first. Some of us don't. Some of us die in accidents or from disease. Some of us get to lay down and go to sleep and just not wake up. But we all die. Our faith tells us that death, in and of itself, is no tragedy. It is, in fact, a cause for celebration. The person of faith who dies in faith goes on to be with God. It is we who are left behind who are sad, but they are whole and joy-filled to levels beyond my ability to describe. In this passage, Jesus knows that our humanness means we will worry at least occasionally about our mortality and of those that we know and love. And Christ sought to assure his disciples, and his words offer us that same promise. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Christ promises us that he's coming for us, and that when our time comes, we will get to be with the Lord in that special place prepared just for us. I think again of our friends and how in that place prepared for us, Mary Louise can stand up straight and tall and move without pain, for she is whole. Christ promises us that when we die, he will come for us and take us to be with him. We won't be alone, so we don't need to be afraid. Instead, we can imagine what it will be like to be in the company of our Savior. Christian artist Mercy Me became famous with their song, I Can Only Imagine, which contemplates with awe and wonder what that special place is like that Christ is preparing for us and what it will be like when we are there. I have a friend back in Tennessee who says heaven is a place where there's cheese and crackers. And given our shared affection for that combo as a meal, I have to agree. Personally, I don't imagine that place as having pearly gates and streets of gold or where we all float around with white robes and wings. but rather we're in whatever clothes we feel most at home in. For some, that might be a three-piece suit and a tie. For others, a pair of overalls and flannel shirt, or jeans, t-shirt, and a baseball cap. Or maybe we're not wearing clothes at all. You know, like the pre-forbidden fruit days in the Garden of Eden, naked and unashamed. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being so healed and so whole that not only would you not be ashamed, but you wouldn't be embarrassed or worried about what you look like or if somebody looks better than you? You'd just be happy, at peace, joyful in God's constant presence. Jesus says, I promise, I'm preparing a place just for you, and I will come back for you, and you and I will be together forever. Think about some of the most wonderful times that you have spent with your very best friend, whoever that is. It'll be like that, only better, and all the time. The other aspect of this passage that resonates in the depths of my being is the part where Jesus says that there are many rooms, or some translations will say many mansions, or like Audio A saying, it's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. This means two things to me. The first is that there is a lot of room in this place. It's not like in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory where only a handful of people get a golden ticket and get to go, or like the tryouts for American Idol. This place is huge. There's lots of room, and all God's people are there. Mary Louise, Sharon, Mother Teresa, Oscar Romero, Martin Luther King Jr., Jeremiah, Ezekiel, so many, many, many more. And it's a big, big house because it's a big, big God with a mercy and a love far wider than our comprehension that has built it for us. It's going to be a big celebration with a big table where we'll sit down together with God and break bread as one body, one people, one family of faith. A man dies. He's greeted at the gates of heaven by St. Peter, the rock, who offers to give him the newcomer's orientation. You know, show the kid around a little bit. So he takes him down a hallway and lets him look in this one room. In it, the people are playing loud music, they're laughing, they're dancing, they're having a great big party. And the man asks Peter, who are those people? Peter responds, oh, those are the Baptists. They never got to have any fun on earth, so they're making up for lost time. Then Peter leads the man further down the hall where he looks in the window and he sees people very quietly poring over books, copying the word and immersed in it, poring over it very studious and reverent. And the man asks people, well, who are those people? And Peter replies, oh, those are the Catholics. They got to do pretty much whatever they wanted when they were on earth, so they're making up for lost time here. Then Peter leads the man a little further down the hall and he says, okay, now, before you look in this next window, I have to ask you to be really, really quiet. And the man asks him, why? Who's in there? And he says, well, it's the Church of Christ and they think they're the only ones up here. All joking aside, and all jabs made in love at my brothers and sisters in Christ from different traditions, the other point from those many rooms that Christ prepares is that they're not just for space, but for variety. God made us so varied in hue and personality, traditions and ways of thinking. There's no reason to think that we become identical amorphous blobs in eternity. So maybe there's lots of rooms up there because of the many cultures and traditions that make up the human family and history. Many rooms. Not one better than the other, just different. There are lots of ideas of what eternity will be like. And I know I have more questions than answers. But the answers I do have, many of them come from this passage right here in John. I know that when I die, I'll get to go and be with God because Christ made it possible and promised to make a place for me. I know that the kingdom of heaven means wholeness, completion, love. I know that when I get there, I'll see Mary Louise, I'll see Cher, and I'll see Trudy, Leroy, my grandma Irma, who may or may not still sound like Betty Boop when she talks, but it won't matter because I'll know her just the same. And I'll see great leaders and servants. I'll see people that right now it might surprise me to think of them there, but it won't then. And I'll see you, and you, and you, in God's time. And we will be one holy chorus, united in prayer and praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty. And being from the disciples' tradition, of course, there's going to be food. A big spread. Good food, good drink, whatever that means to you. And the company will be out of this world. I don't really know how to end this message except the way that it started. I thought a lot about mortality, about God's promises and saying goodbye. I've shed some tears, but I've done a lot more laughing and smiling and saying thank you to God for life and all its parts, now and later. I hope as you consider this passage from John, you too will think of the promises, the grace that it bestows, the hope that it carries with it wherever we take it and share it. I hope you will think not of sorrow when you read the scripture, but of celebration. And I hope that it leaves you with a little song stuck in the back of your mind and you can't quite get it out. Come and go with me to my Father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room.